fly feeling.
And now it's recording on without. That's my able have the audio, some video,
So
whatever
we
you need.
just leave it now.
Yeah. I'm not gonna
I
touch
touch
it. You're
it.
done. You're done. Okay. Okay. Sorry.
Sure,
Okay.
you see how sad you are. Wow. How are you?
Okay. Okay, so good morning to everybody. I wanted to say that everybody gets a little bit of extra Shkhar Halitza today, because I know the conditions were not great out there, and thank God everybody seems to have arrived well. Could be that some people got stuck outside, so maybe we'll see. But it's a wonderful thing that people are so dedicated. I want to thank our sponsors, as always, Freddie, Susan, Kass, for sponsoring in memory of Freddie's grandmother, Chana Bas Naftali, whose yahrzeit will be marked on the 18th of Teves, and also in memory of Freddie's father, Rav David ben Yaakov Kass, whose yahrzeit will be marked on the 22nd of Teves. So thank you so much for sponsoring the entire month of learning. We're so grateful for your support and your participation. And we know that you're, going to be virtual for much of the rest of the semester as you travel hopefully safely and calmly down to Florida. But we look forward to seeing you on the Zoom as part of our hybrid model. I want to thank the Grunsteins as always. Again, this is the corporate sponsorship, which is, I think, a first for us, the Jump Into Shape program. An ideal online fitness program. So again, you can look at the sponsorships and contact Moshe Moskowitz, Jump Into Shape at iCloud.com. Whenever Rabbi Belezon comes, he makes a point of coming whenever he can, which we're so supportive and appreciative of. I'd like to say two things, and I'm going to repeat them in this context. So first of all, I think it's a special thing about Teaneck, that you have people who grew up here, who are Marbitzei Torah in the broader community, and because we're imperialists by nature, so we consider Fairlawn to still be part of the greater, but really just to be in Bergen County. So to have Rabbi Belezon, who so many of you know from, growing up in Teaneck and B'nai Ashurim, and remember his wonderful father and all of his amazing contributions to the learning culture that developed around B'nai Ashurim. So that's, I think, a very special thing about a community. The saying is, "Ein Navi Be'iro," but Yesh Rabbanim Be'iram, and that's, I think, a very beautiful thing about Teaneck, that we were able to, sustain Torah culture and produce it from within. So Rabbi Belzon is really a shining, example of that. The second thing that I would say is, all of the Rabbanim, the RCBC, really, I always try to point out in this context how hard they're working for all of us, and they really are. When we have people from the, but it's doubly true of the Kashrus committee. There's a din prati there. So Rabbi Belezon is really one of the members that make up the Chut HaShidra, the backbone of the Kashrus committee, which has the most ongoing work. There are always things that come up in the Vav, things in the community. But in terms of like the ongoing work, the Kashrus committee really, really, really works very hard, and people should appreciate that. I know that growing up here, I didn't necessarily appreciate that, so I always try to be, point this out so people can be makir tov, how much extra work goes into it. And again, it's not a paying job or anything like that. Rabbi Belezon does this in addition to his teaching at Yitzchak Elchanan, in addition to, his Rabbanus, Yisrael and Fairlawn. So it really is a hakaras hatov, because it's being done just to the benefit of the community. Rabbi Belezon, thank you so much for being here.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you, Rav Fridman. Thank you to the Tzibor. Thank you for having me. It's really always very exciting, a special part of my year to come and join and learn with you during this week. And it's a really a source of inspiration, as was mentioned. Many of you know my family growing up, knew my father. He for sure would have been one of your Yedidim. Learning with you, supporting this unbelievable base medrash. But I was even just speaking to some of my talmidim. Right now they are studying for their bechina tomorrow, and I said I'm not going to be around tomorrow to answer questions, because I said it with a proud way. I said, because I'm going back to my hometown, and I'm learning Torah with people that I grew up with families that we've learned it together for so many years. So it's really very special to be here and to be able to learn together, and to for you to be a source of inspiration for me to continue learning for many, many more years. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless you all with many more years of learning and growing together. I'm actually recording this year. And this year is a very special year that I'd like to discuss. Just to give a little background to tie it into the time period, one of the ideas we're learning about the Parshios of Yosef. One of the ideas of Yosef's name is very name represents the Zman that we find ourselves in, finishing up, culminating the Yontif of Chanukah, where we paskin like Beis Hillel, that Beis Hillel hold you should light an extra candle. You should be mosif v'holich. You should add more. What we did yesterday is not enough. We should add something else. We should always be in a constant addition mode. Mosif v'holich. Yosef's very name highlights, I think, this concept. I mean, when one looks at the parsha, when Yosef is born, I mean, his mother, imagine you're in the delivery room and your wife has your first child, and her first response is, you're saying, "What a cute baby." And the mother's responding, I want another one." That's exactly what his name is, Yosef ben Acher. So, on the one hand, it sounds strange, but on the other hand, it highlights this idea and this concept of not being content in Avodas Hashem, not sufficing, not saying that this is sufficient, but always pushing yourself the extra mile. And that's really what Yosef represents. That's really what Chanukah tells us, add an extra candle. And that's really the topic that I'd like to discuss today. I'd like to dedicate this year, and you'll understand why in a second, for the protection and the success and the Yeshua and the Refuah of all the Chayalim that are fighting on our behalf and defending Am Yisrael, and for the recovery, Emirat Hashem, the safe recovery of all the Chatufim that now find themselves in a challenging predicament, Bekarov. And I want to dedicate this shiur, which has to deal with Yosef and this concept of addition and adding on and not being content. And I want to thank the Chayal that reached out to me already now. It was a few weeks ago, the beginning of the war, when he was stationed and set out for his mission. He presented me a fascinating shiloh. And it really relates to the concept of Tosefes, the concept of Tosefes Shabbos. But I don't want to focus on the answer of the shiloh. Very often when I give shiurim, I ask the question is just an excuse to get to the answer and to get to the sugya. The sugya is a fascinating sugya, and hopefully we'll all enjoy and delve into the concepts and try to delve, and maybe you'll give me your insights of what you think the answer should be. But in my opinion, the most impressive part of this topic is the fact that we have a chayal that shomer Torah mitzvahs, that is fighting for his life, and he's asking such a question. To me, that is a tremendous source of inspiration, something that I admire, that I believe needs pause, just to allow what this question represents to register, for allow us to really retain what the question actually is. And the question that was posed to me was the following: Rav Elazar, what is your opinion in the following situation? My commander has approached me. It is Erev Shabbos. My practice every Erev Shabbos, which is beautiful in its own right, is to accept Shabbos early, let's say 20 minutes earlier. Rav Shechter Shlita has an opinion that you should accept Shabbos 30 minutes earlier. This is not all the poskim have this shita, but that's Rav Shechter's opinion. But he had a practice that he usually liked to accept Shabbos, significant amount of Tosefes Shabbos before Shabbos. That's what he does on a weekly basis. According to many poskim, that's a biblical commandment. You're not just supposed to enter into Shabbos. You're not just supposed to run in the last second into Shabbos. But you should do what we introduced this year with, which is the concept of Tosefes, of Yosef, of being Mosif V'Holich. Shabbos shouldn't just be the set amount prescribed by the Torah, but rather Shabbos should be some voluntary Shabbos, some sort of Shabbos that I enter into Shabbos, and I suggest those of you that don't do this, it might be a good idea to do this. After you finish Shmoneh Esrei Mincha afternoon, say, Hareini Mekabel Shabbos Achshav, Kedusha Shabbos. A beautiful, beautiful idea, a beautiful statement to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu and declare, I would like to accept your Shabbos on my weekday activity right now. Even though technically I'm not necessarily obliged right now because sunset has not hit. So this chayal says, this is my practice on a weekly basis. Let's say, for argument's sake, 25 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is. His commander approaches him and he says, one of two possibilities. Let's take the more severe possibilities, but I'd like to quote both possibilities because I think that might have ramifications. His commander says, "Is we're moving into Gaza in 10 minutes." This is what he presented to me. What do I do? On the one hand, I try to add and to be mosif any merit, any zchus, any possible mitzvah that I could find to go into Gaza not only with physical ammunition, but to go into Gaza with zchuyos. So now I have the opportunity, I have the mitzvah that I've been practicing for many years of Tosefes Shabbos. That I bring in the Shabbos early. So I'd like to go into Gaza with that zchus, with that merit, with that opportunity, with that shield, with that ammunition. Should I do so like I do on a regular Shabbos? Or perhaps I shouldn't do so. Why would you not do so? Why not? Perhaps I should abstain this week. Once my commander has already signaled to me that this is not going to be an ordinary Shabbos, that although you're sitting tight right now, your world is about to change. And rightfully so. No one is debating that this chayal is not doing a mitzvah and is not doing the right thing and has the heter of pikuach nefesh for him to fight on our behalf in Gaza. But when one needs to analyze when entering into that sugya and that discussion of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, what is the nature of that situation? When a doctor has to violate Shabbos in order to save someone's life, and no one should make the mistake that that's not the correct practice, Shulchan Aruch writes that the first one that should be Mechallel Shabbos on behalf of others is the Rav, not the doctor, the Rav, in order so people are not slow and hesitant in the process of saving a life on Shabbos. So no one's debating that there's a heter over here, but what's the nature of that desecration? What's the nature of the fact that Shabbos has to be overridden in such a situation? Do we call that hutra? Shabbos is hutra? B'makom pikuach nefesh, what does hutra mean? Does it mean that it's as if it's a weekday and therefore you can do whatever it takes? Absolutely go freely without any hesitations and be mechallel Shabbos for the sake of pikuach nefesh? Or do we say that no, desecration of Shabbos in such a situation, although permitted, it is what's called tchuya, not hutra. It is in a limited fashion. When avoidable, we try to avoid it. If a malacha could be done through a Gentile, have the Gentile drive you to the hospital as opposed to a Jew driving to a hospital. If this violation could be done with a rabbinic violation, opt for the rabbinic violation as opposed to the biblical violation. This is a machlokas rishonim recorded in the Rosh Maseches Yuma. And the way we paskin la halacha is that we say and paskin that Shabbos is tchuyim. There's a limited permissibility. And therefore, when we can and we can avoid and circumvent Chilul Shabbos, we try to do so as long as it's not at the expense of the health of the individual. Anything, like I said before about the Rav being Mechalel Shabbos, anything that would hesitate or slow down the Hatzalah process, the saving process, obviously comes first. But where there's no difference, so then always opt in the less severe manner, in the tchuya, in trying to transgress as little as possible. So this chayal had a brand new shaila. This chayal presented the shaila as follows. What should be the situation over here? On the one hand, I have a mitzvah. To be honest, there are some poskim that think there's an even greater schus of Tosefta Shabbos every minute. Every second that he has to add on to the Shabbos. So he's saying, I want to go into Gaza with some spiritual luggage. On the other hand, he turned to me and he said, perhaps, or I don't know if he actually said this, but I'm saying this, perhaps I should abstain completely from Tosefta Shabbos. Perhaps I should not be Mekabel Shabbos. Although it's a nice idea, although it's a fulfillment, it's a positive commandment, but it's avoidable. It's not technically, and I don't want to be misunderstood when I say this, this Shabbos, it's not necessary. It's still before sunset. So it's all on my own volition. Perhaps one could argue, leave the mitzvah aside this week. Because if you look within the prism of what I said, that Shabbos is tchuya, and we try to avoid transgression wherever possible. So one possibility over here is that there will not be any transgression during those 20 minutes of Tosefta Shabbos or half hour of Tosefta Shabbos, whatever amount of time he's adding on to Shabbos. So do we say because it's avoidable that now he shouldn't accept the Shabbos upon himself and leave the mitzvah away, where the chayal will tell me, okay, but I'm missing a beautiful opportunity. I'm missing a zchus. And according to many Rishonim, that is, with the exception of the Rambam, that is a biblical fulfillment and real spiritual luggage to go into and enter into Gaza with. Or do we say, yeah, but in terms of the perspective of desecration of Shabbos, that's something that's avoidable. So therefore, it's better off not to accept. What do you think? Clever. Yeah, Jackie.
Playing out. We have eight couple shots this time, but that next time you're Gaza, and you no longer think couple shots because you
He will be involved in Chilul Shabbos, not being able to be with Chilul Shabbos without any Chilul Shabbos. What's the psak? So I was thinking about the Shiloh. But again, I want to pause. And I want to say, whatever the answer is, Rav Ossai, wow. What a gavura. All I can say is, what a gavura. I am proud to have a chayal, to know a chayal, to have connections to this chayal that asked such a question. And I'm sure there are other chayalim, and I am proud to have an army and an IDF that has such individuals defending our behalf. So tremendous, tremendous question. I think that the question might lie in the following analysis of the following sugya. To get a little background, let's look at source number one or source number zero, the first source on the page. Didn't have numbers, now we're in too many sources. Try to keep it fairly simple. So the Mishnah says in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, Olsin kol tzorchei milah b'Shabbos. Milah is something that the Torah in Parshas Tazria says can be performed on Shabbos, although technically it is a desecration of Shabbos. It is a violation of Shabbos. There is some sort of malacha that's going on when you circumcise a child. To be honest, the sugya is not for now. We are not sure, and the Rishonim have a major debate what the violation is with Mila that the Torah has to override and say, you should still perform the Mila on Shabbos. Many different options of what that malacha technically is. But the Gemara tells us, Beferish, that there is a malacha being done. And we also have the ability to take care of the other needs that go along with the Mila process. We go through the Mila technical process with the peeling away of the skin and the cutting of the skin and the metzitza. Vinosin alav is fullness, vikamun, and you take care of all the bandages. And what happens in Lo Shachmer of Shabbos? We don't have the medications from before Shabbos. It wasn't prepared. Lo is Bishinov, he does it. He chews it up with his teeth. Like I was saying before, he tries to limit the amount of Chilul Shabbos as much as possible. In Lo Tarav Yayin Beshemen Meir of Shabbos, also, Yinosin Zeba'atzvom, Zeba'atzvom. But there's a limit. Einosin Lo Chalut Chafil, you don't make a new garment. Aval Korach Alav Smartut. But we do wrap him in bandages in Lo Hispin Bimur Shabbos. If we didn't do it before Shabbos, Korech Alatbo, maybe, and you need to carry in a public domain, you should do it on your fingers so it's not going to be carried in a normal way, in the normal bags, in a normal way that would be a technical violation of Hotzah and Shabbos. So the Mishnah is highlighting that we do take into account other bandages and other necessities for the healing process and the Mila process on Shabbos. The Rishonim on this Mishnah discussed the following situation. You know, the practice was, the Beis Yosef says, that medically this was what was the opinion of medicine in the times of the Gemara, and even in the times of the Rishonim, was that it's necessary for the child to be washed with hot water prior to the Mila and post the Mila. This no longer is assumed by doctors and Moalim to be necessary. But at the time of Chazal, we need to take that into account, that this was what medical advisors were telling us is necessary. And therefore, it is in the realm of Pikuach Nefesh. That's what medicine dictated then. We find often in the Gemara, the Rashba tells us, there are many different medicinal practices that existed in the times of the Gemara that we don't hold of Bizman Hazeh. It's a fascinating topic on its own about how the Gemara sometimes could state certain things that existed, and why that ceases to exist is for another discussion. But the facts are is that's what the assumption was in the Zman of Chazal. So the Rishonim discussed the following situation. What happens if the water, the hot water that was necessary to wash the baby with, in order that the baby will heal from this traumatic experience of Mila, spilt? The older brother of the baby knocked into the hot water urn, and boom, right before the Mila, and we have no longer hot water. What do we do? What are our options? Our options are filling up a new hot water urn and plugging it in. Or in the times of the Gemara, starting up another fire and heating up a pot of water. Or what's the other options? Okay, there's no going around, let's say. Postpone the meal. Perhaps the meal should not take place on Shabbos. I know it might be difficult for you to deal with your wife in terms of all the invitations and everything and the caterer, but that wasn't something that the Rishonim were discussing. So do we cancel the meal and say, this Mila cannot take place on Shabbos because the water that's going to be necessary is no longer available? How do we deal with such a dilemma? Comes along the Ran Masech Shabbos and it records a fundamental debate amongst the Rishonim. Rishonim say like this, V'heched ishtape chamima, second source. Heched ishtape chamima, when the hot water spilled, Inami ivdur samoni la'achar mila, or the medicine was lost. Pshita dimechamamin v'shoichkin mipnei asakon. Miuhol kol eichad de'ikalishnui mishanin. Says the Ran, if you need it for pikuach nefesh, so you should for sure do so, and you should for sure take care of the necessities, and where you have the ability to limit, so you should limit. Let's skip to the third line. But what happens if it's not the water, the hot water that was used prior to the milah, which was obvious that we should take care of? But what happens if it's the hot water that should be done, that it was going to be utilized after the milah? This is not as clear. Do we say push off the milah? Do we say that since after the milah and all the Torah permitted us to do was the milah process itself, nothing else, and since we're going to have to violate an additional violation post the milah, we should push off the milah? O Dilma, or do we say no? Perhaps say argue differently. Hashtamias right now, but din mahalim. The Torah tells us in Parshas Tazria, Mila is performed on Shabbos, and you should perform the Mila on Shabbos. But once the Mila is over, I don't have any more permissibility. Says the Ran, no, maybe you do. And after the Mila, ubasar hachi. Pikuach nefesh hu shedoyches haShabbos. And afterwards, once you're going to be in the realm of pikuach nefesh, so pikuach nefesh is also something that overrides Shabbos. So says the Ran, maybe that's what you should argue. And in fact, v'haramban zal, and the Ramban kosav, dishari l'mimili, that you're allowed to go on and you do not have to cancel the milah. She'en l'mitzvah ela shaito. Wow, that's a fascinating line. If I had a pen right now, I'd underline that line. She'ein le'mitzvah ela shaita. I have to take into account my mitzvahs as they come. Right now, commanded upon me is to perform the mitzvah of milah even on Shabbos. Afterwards, I'll make my cheshbonis afterwards. Ela sha'ata ve'ein doichanes amila m'mneshin et tzarech achar kach litcheses ha'shabbos. De'bosar achi pikuach nefeshu de'dachilem v'loy machshir emilim. And afterwards, I'll have the permissibility and I'll deal with it as the situation presents itself and override with Pikuach Nefesh. Okay, and he proves this. I'm just going to, for the sake of time, skip a little bit in the run. Let's skip to the end of this paragraph, four lines from the end of this paragraph. The first word of the line is he. And that is the second word, Be'eno Kein Das Haraza. The Raza is Rav Zecharia Halevi. That is none other than the Bala Maor, a famous Bar Plugta, and a person who often argued with the Ramban. He has a fundamental debate with this Ramban. And he says, Shuhuzal Omer, the Chole Chadeshtape Fanimi, the Basar Mila, Mekame Mila, Tidche Mila. No! Cancel the bris! Call off all the guests that are coming. Tell them we are not able to go out. The Torah allowed us to do a bris, but not if it means my other violations post the bris. Cancel the bris. Why? Because you don't have a heifer over you. You knew very well before the bris that you're going to now have to put yourself into a situation of pikuach nefesh. Says the Baal HaMor, fascinating machlokas. The Torah allowed pikuach nefesh if I'm stuck in a situation of pikuach. If the Rabbeinu Shel Olam unfortunately put me in a situation of pikuach nefesh, the Torah dictates chalal Shabbos. You should be mechalal Shabbos. That's the halacha. That's the halacha. But the Torah never said that you can set up lechachil a situation of pikuach nefesh, and therefore says the Baal HaMor, you might be right that post facto, you do have the heter of pikuach nefesh, but who gave you the right to set up that situation? You could have avoided that. And if even though I have a commandment to do milah right now, if I know that that's going to entail and take into account creating lechatchila situation of pikuach nefesh, that is absolutely usur, and you have to delay the milah. Fascinating. Fascinating. And this is the opinion of not only the Baal HaMor, but also the opinion of the Rashba. The Rashba brings a proof, and it's actually found in the Rashba in the beginning of Maseches Beitzah. Anyone who learns Maseches Beitzah learns about the fact that the Torah tells us when it comes to Yom Tif is approached differently than Shabbos. As we know, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tif. But you're not only allowed to cook on Yom Tif, you're also allowed, which was often the practice in the times of Chazal, you're allowed to shecht on Yom Tif. That's how they used to get meat. They didn't have freezers. They didn't have stored away for all of the Shalosh Regalim. I mean, in my freezer right now, I have already meat for Shavuos. But they didn't have that that situation. They had to shecht on Yom Tif often. So the Gemara discusses, yeah, but if you're going to shecht on Yom Tif and you're going to shecht those animals, like a chayer, an oaf, that require not only shechita, but they require kisui hadam. They require the mitzvah of covering the blood from the shechita, from the slaughtering process. That's not so simple. Because now you're going to start digging, you're going to start moving around the afar. That's not necessarily permissible on Yom Tif. And the Gemara says that Beis Hillel's opinion, unless the shovel is already stuck in the ground and the melacha has been done already and set up already, then you cannot shecht because you're going to set up a situation that I'm going to have to violate more chilul Yom Tif for kisi adam, which doesn't have the heter of ochel nefesh. Ask the Rashba, why not? If the Ramban's right, and I'm allowed to set up this situation, l'chadchila of pikuach nefesh, in the mila process, so why can't you argue similarly when it comes to the mitzvah of simchas Yom Tov? Let's set up a situation that I'm going to shech, even if it's a wild animal, there's going to be a mitzvah of kisei adam, and then I'll set up l'chadchila that the mitzvah of essay of simchas Yom Tov should be doich the veloisase of digging on Yom Tov. Just like you can set up the chatzila, do the mila like the Ramban says, and I'm going to set up a situation that I'm doche Shabbos for pikuach nefesh. So too, says the Rashba, shech the animal on Yom Tov and set up a situation, not of pikuach nefesh, but similarly of esse doich veloisase. Of the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov should be doiche, the loisase of doing malacha on Yom Tov, of loisase kol malacha be Yom Tov. What's the problem? Says the Rashba, from the fact that the Gemara never even entertained this possibility in the first 8-9 blot of Meseches Beitza, discussing this again and again, says the Rashba, it's clear that the Baal HaMor is correct. We do not set up these situations l'chadchila. Heterim have to fall on you, but you don't create and circumvent the system and set them up. Sorry, Rabbi Ramban, you are wrong, says his Talmud, the Rashba. Wow. Comes along the Ran and he says, I think you're mixing apples and oranges a little bit. I don't necessarily see a parallel between the sugyas in Maseches Beitza and the sugyas in Maseches Shabbos of linking and comparing Simchas Yom Tov to Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. Says the Ran, in the end of the second paragraph in the Ran, in the last line, middle of the line, the Efshrahim, Rashba, you have a strong argument. The Baal HaMor might be right, but don't bring me a proof from Maseches Beitza. I do not think there's a Gemara that's proving the Ramban wrong. Why? Lefi Daiti, says the Ran, she'ein shechita b'yantzif mitzvos kavua k'mila b'shabbos. What does that mean? The mitzvah of Simchas Yantif on Yantif is not a mitzvah kavua like the mitzvah amila of Shabbos. What does that mean? Mitzvah amila on Shabbos, any person who has a child and on the eighth day it falls out on Shabbos, eighth day falls out on Shabbos, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, that's your obligation. And the Torah tells you, you perform that mila on Shabbos. Shechita? I don't know. I like vegetables. This person might like kokosh cake, might have vegetarians. You yourself choose that this animal is going to be a geshmak meal. Not sure that everyone would agree with that in this room. Maybe spaghetti would be better. Maybe macaroni and cheese, I don't know. Says the Ran, that's not a mitzvah kavu, it's relative. Everyone defines their mitzvah in their own way. You know, this is also a distinct topic, a separate topic to discuss. How does one perform the mitzvah of Simchas Yomim? You know, the Shagas Aryeh was of the opinion, many of the opinion, that, you know, the best way is to buy your kids toys, get your wife a dress and some jewelry before Yom Tov, and read the newspaper. I don't know, do whatever you do, whatever gives yourself enjoyment. Not everyone is agreement with that. Many people think that there is a chiyuv to eat basar and drink wine, but bezman hazeh, especially when there's no karbanos, the Gemara's time, they were eating basar kodshim, they were eating karbanos shlamim, not necessarily the way to fulfill the mitzvah. Many are of the opinion that in the way you enjoy, you have the ability to prescribe your mitzvahs, Simchas Yomtiv. I believe that this debate between the Ramban and the Baal HaMor is actually very similar to our Shiloh in the year 2023. Can't believe it. I can't say that in a few weeks. In the year 2023 of this Chayat. What is he asking me? Let's analyze. He's asking me, hey, Rabbi, I have a mitzvah essay right now. In the world of the Ramban, that's exactly what the Ramban was saying. Daddy, you have a mitzvah essay right now of performing the milah on your child. You're going to have to create situations of desecration afterwards. Okay. But ein li ela mitzvah l'shaita. I have my commandment right now. Let me deal with my commandments as they come. This chayal in the argument saying, I like to fulfill and I like to have the practice, like many Rishonim hold, is biblical, of accepting Shabbos early. Give me my mitzvah. Let me accomplish it. Let me walk in with that spiritual luggage into Gaza. Ein lecha mitzvah el l'shaita. Perhaps the Baal HaMor might tell this chayal, wait, slow down. That's very nice that you do that on a regular week. But here it's avoidable. Here you don't need to. Here you're setting up a situation of desecration of Shabbos at the time of Tosefes. Okay, it might not be as severe. You might not get capital punishment like you would on Shabbos itself, but it still might be a biblical transgression. Why are you accepting Shabbos? That was entirely avoidable. The entire 20 minutes, you did not have to have Chilul Shabbos. Why did you do that? Every other place that you went to, every other time that you pulled the trigger, that could have been avoidable. So maybe we should abstain this week and give up on that mitzvah. Perhaps this Shiloh might actually be a machlokas between the Ramban and the Baal HaMor regarding Mila and perhaps Shechita on Yom Tov. Fascinating. So who do we pass? Who's right? It's not entirely clear. But if one looks in the Beis Yosef and Hilchos Mila, it does sound like most of the Rishonim agree with the Shita of the Baal HaMor. And it's not really as relevant in the situation of Mila, as I said before, because we don't have a Shtapei Chamime. We don't heat up water for after the bris. But technically, we follow the Shita of the Baal HaMor. And if that would be the case, so as of now, we would probably tell this chayal, I don't think you should accept Shabbos this week. And that bothered me. That was very difficult for me. Unsettling. From a spiritual standpoint, that this chayal doesn't have this schus like he's looking for and searching for. But also from a halachic standpoint. You know, because the Baal HaMor, I believe himself needs some explanation. The Baal HaMor doesn't necessarily add up himself. And that leads us to an entirely different sugya. And let's try to move ahead with the limited time that we have. The third Maromekomos takes us The third Gemara takes us to a Gemara earlier in Shabbos, a Gemara which is also an independent topic. Gemara has a lot of topics, which deals with taking cruises on Shabbos, a fascinating sugya on its own, but not my discussion right now. But the Gemara says, "Ein mafligim b'svina pachos mishloshim yom kodem l'Shabbos." You should not draw any conclusions about yes or not from this Gemara. The Metzius and the situation now might be different. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi and ask him about cruises on Shabbos. But it is fascinating what the Gemara was concerned with, because this is relevant. The Gemara says, do not go onto a ship within 3 days prior to Shabbos. Then the Gemara qualifies. Bamed dvarim amurim lidvarashus. What is this referring to? If it's for a vacation, aval dvar mitzvah shapir dam. But if you're going for a dvar mitzvah, it's permissible. And I want to just pause for a second and give you an incredible maromah. What is a good example of a dvar mitzvah? You know, getting a lulav, getting an esrog, buying tefillin, great. If one looks in the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, I think it's Siman Resh Mem Gimel, but I don't remember for 100%. On this halacha, the Ramah quotes the opinion of the Mordechai and says, you know what a dvar mitzvah is? Parnosa for your family. Supporting one's family. That is included in a dvar mitzvah. Being able to be mefarnes one's family and not needing tzedakah and being able to support yourself, that is also a dvar mitzvah. Oh. So if it's a dvar shos, then don't get on the ship within 3 days of Shabbos. If it's a dvar mitzvah, you can even get on the ship on Erev Shabbos. What is the issue with getting on a ship on Shabbos? I'll wear a talis. I'll wear my gartel. I'll say Shechenad. What is the problem? I'll even sing Smiris, Koechsoy. What do you want from me? You did Nefesh. I'll do everything Shabbistic on the on it. What's talking about? It's talking about electronic doors. The Gemara didn't have electronic doors. What's the problem? So the riff has a fascinating psak. I always think about my wife when I think about this riff. Because my wife, when I was dating my wife, she always had a dream. She always wanted to go on a helicopter. She goes, "What that? Can we do one, wild day? Let's go on a helicopter." So I tried every which psak to try to get out of it. No, it's yichud. It's going to be a problem. I can't get it. Whatever it is, I didn't want to go on a helicopter. Finally, she once went with her family on a helicopter. Boy, did she get sick! And I say, "You see, I had the right intentions the entire time." Says the Rif, "You know what the reason for this Gemara is? You're not supposed to set up yourself in situations that you're going to be sick on Shabbos. You're going to have to take Dramamine and all these things." And we all know the first few days getting accustomed to the ship is very difficult. And you have to make sure that you're already in what I would say is cruise control. You're already cruising. And that's not appropriate. So the Rif says the problem is Oinig Shabbos. We want you to have Oinig at Shabbos. Fascinating. I already have to make the right preparations and set myself up to make sure that I'm going to be in a good mood on Shabbos. Might be something for us to think about. What should I be involved with on Erev Shabbos? Am I focusing on the stock market? Okay, last week, maybe you could look at the stock market on Erev Shabbos. But Rabbeisai, for the last 4 or 5 months, you should not be looking at the stock market before Erev Shabbos. That's not going to be good, putting you in a good mood on Erev Shabbos. So the Rif says that's okay. So you have to put yourself in the right frame of mind. They should be happy. Have a sense of serenity. Menucha on Shabbos. Comes along the Balamor and he says, "Nah, what Marish guy? Come on. Oinig Shabbos? That's what the Gemara is talking about? The Gemara is talking about real serious situations." The Gemara is talking about that in the initial, few days of the departure of the ship, there usually were technical difficulties. There were situations where one of the planks on the ship had a hole and we had issues and we had to fix it immediately. Says the Baal HaMor, if you're going to go onto a ship at the beginning of, within 3 days of Shabbos, you're basically setting yourself up for failure. You're going to have to set yourself up to be Mechallel Shabbos. Says the Baal HaMor, don't you know my opinion? Don't you know my chiddush in the sugya of Ishtapi Chamime, when the hot water spills? I'm the one who argued on the Rishonim, on the Ramban, and I said you can't set up Pikuach Nefesh L'chadchila. Says the Baal HaMor, that's also why you can't go on a cruise on Thursday before Shabbos, because you're setting up Chilul Shabbos L'chadchila, because you're going to have a technical difficulty. Wow, that's a geshmak of pshat. Baal HaMor, l'shitas, l'shitas. I have a problem with that. You know what my problem was? The Gemara qualified. The Gemara said a dvar mitzvah is mutter. Who has a question now? What greater dvar mitzvah, where the Baal HaMor is telling us the interpretation of the sugya is about setting up Chilul Shabbos l'chadchila, to initiate Chilul Shabbos, to initiate Pikuach Nefesh. That's not permissible unless it's a Dvar Mitzvah. I thought that Mila is a Dvar Mitzvah. I thought that the commandment that was given to Avram Avinu to circumcise your children was something that we give significance to. Not only that, we actually override Shabbos for. That's not a Dvar Mitzvah. And yet the Baal HaMor doesn't explain. This was a question that was raised by many Gedolim. And one of those Gedolim was none other than Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Lebracha. Rav Soloveitchik was approached by some of his Talmidim that were asked to join the American army, to be chaplains and go out to different countries. And at the time, I think it was the time of the Vietnam, to be able to be there and to be mechazik and help out the morale and the Jewish courage of those that were struggling in the army, in the American army. And they asked Rav Soloveitchik, technically right now, I am not obligated to enlist. Right now, I can avoid any potential Chilul Shabbos. But once I'm sent out to my different various stations of wherever the American army sends me to, I'm going to be faced with Pikuach Nefesh. Rav Soloveitchik, am I allowed to join the American army to be a chaplain, or should I stay put in your shir and learn by you and not enter into a situation of Pikuach Nefesh L'chadchil? And Rav Shechter records that Rav Soloveitchik answered that he thinks this might depend on how we resolve the contradiction of the Baal HaMor, our very question that we pose today. On the one hand, the Baal HaMor says, Mila, absolutely not. Don't set up a situation of Pikuach Nefesh L'chadchila. And if we would go with that Baal HaMor, we would say, you cannot go to the American army. And this Chayal in our situation would not be allowed to accept Shabbos if our analysis is correct. Yet from the other cruise, from the other sugya, it sounds like from the Baal HaMor for a Dvar Mitzvah. And if we would suggest being mechazik other Jews and helping there and facilitating, perhaps even setting up kiddush and practices that they'll be able to perform and putting on tefillin, many different mitzvahs that they're going to be able to perform, perhaps we should allow the setup of Chilul Shabbos and entering in L'chadchila to the American army. So Soloveitchik answered that it's a difficult question. We need to really analyze. Are there any differences between these Baal HaMors, between these cases, that perhaps we can glean insight in when it is permissible with Dvar Mitzvah and when it's prohibited with Dvar Mitzvah to set up a situation of Pikuach Nefesh? One difference might be that in the situation of Mila, it was for certain, it was vadai that I was going to have and be confronted with Pikuach Nefesh. Every single meal that is performed on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos has the necessity to have hot water for the baby afterwards. Perhaps the Baal HaMor argued Rav Soloveitchik, as well as many other achronim, was stringent for setting up Chilul Shabbos l'chatchila and Pikuach Nefesh l'chatchila, initiating Pikuach Nefesh when you know for sure that Pikuach Nefesh is going to exist. In the situation of being a chaplain, I don't know what's going to happen. Perhaps Hashem might give me a bracha, and Shabbos might be peaceful. Shabbos might be calm. We might not be faced. We might be able to take care of all the preparations from before Shabbos. We might not. It's a suffix. The situation of the cruise is also a suffix. It's not 100% certain that we're going to have to fix the ship. Right now, the ship is intact. The Baal HaMor was saying, often, many times, you need to take into consideration when you're going on a vacation not to set up Chilul Shabbos l'chatchila, not to enter into Pikuach Nefesh l'chatchila, if it's a Dvar Rishus and not a Dvar Mitzvah. So perhaps the answer to the Baal HaMor was, it depends on the situation. Is it Vaday Chilul Shabbos? Is it Chilul Shabbos that's for certain, 100%? Or is it a question? And that would resolve the contradiction in the Baal HaMor that would affect Rav Soloveitchik's psak, allowing these Talmidim to become chaplains in the American army. And in our question, it would really depend on what the commander said. Did the commander say, get ready, we are going in for sure in 10 minutes? Or did the commander say, be on guard, we might have to move in the next 10 minutes, but it's still not clear. If you would take that initial way to resolve the contradiction in the Baal HaMor, that would depend on the commander's command. Another distinction the Rav Soloveitchik had was perhaps the Baal HaMor, who was stringent in the areas of Mila, was specific to the areas of Mila. Why should that be? You know, the Gemara tells us in the beginning of Rav Lazar the Mila, where all of these sugyas take place, that Rav Lazar had a unique opinion. That's why the parak is called Reb Eliezer de Mila. Reb Eliezer held that not only you're allowed to perform and circumcise the actual baby, you're allowed to transgress Shabbos for machshirim. What is machshirim? That is what's called preparatory and ancillary needs that connect to the meal, like sharpening the knife. Like if I forgot to bring the baby to shul, driving a car to the baby to the meal, that's also subsumed under the meal permissibility. I have 11:54, right? I have till 12. No? What? I'm done. Okay. So I guess this chayal is going to have to wait. Can I have 2 minutes? I'm sorry, I was told 12. 1 second. Wait. So the I'm sorry, I was misinformed. I'm sorry, but it would have sped up a little bit. Said Rav Soloveitchik, perhaps we don't pass like Rav Lazar the Mila. We hold that the Mila itself is allowed. You're allowed to cut. You can't drive to the shul on Shabbos. You can't do preparatory. You can't do these ancillary activities on Shabbos. Says Rav Soloveitchik, perhaps the Baal HaMor held that machshirei milah are not only before the milah, but anything that's already prior known prior to the bris, that's going to be necessity after the milah, like the hot water, that's subsumed in, not the bila itself, but that's machshirei milah. So that perhaps is a prohibition. Since we don't paskin like Rav Elazar, we paskin like the other Tanaim, machshirei milah, when it comes to milah, you're not allowed to do this. But setting up pikuach nefesh, maybe you're allowed to do. If that would be the case, any area outside of Mila, like this shakhaila, like the situation of going on a ship on Shabbos, like the Baal HaMor said himself, or this chayal accepting Shabbos beforehand, perhaps it would be permissible. That was the second argument of Soloveitchik. Then there was a third argument. This argument is not only in Soloveitchik, it's actually found in the Stipler from Bnei Brak in his Sefer Kehilos Yaakov on Maseches Shabbos. The Stipler says, no, you missed the boat. No pun intended, you missed the boat. Rabosai, says the Stipler, the critical question one has to ask is when is this decision being made? When are you entering into the situation of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos? When are you initiating Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos? In the case of the ship, I'm doing it one, on Thursday before Shabbos. Before Shabbos, if there's a Dvar Mitzvah, we allow you to do that. In the case of the other Baal HaMor, when the Mila was taking place, when was I entering the situation of Pikuach Nefesh? That was already when Shabbos has already entered in. My obligation to be concerned about future desecration is much more severe because I'm already keeping Shabbos. Says the Baal HaMor, that's where I'm stringent. It's whether it's before, it's whether it's on Shabbos. That was the distinction. So now I ask you a fascinating question. This chayal is in a totally unbelievable situation. Because on the one hand, at the time that he's accepting Shabbos, it's not Shabbos yet. So according to the Stipler, according to this last rationale of Rav Soloveitchik, yes, that's permissible. But yet what's interesting about this specific shaila in the year 2023 is that now you have a question about Tosefta Shabbos that as I'm entering into the situation, what happens? The day transforms and becomes Shabbos. So perhaps if one looks at it from the time that I'm beginning to enter it, so then it's mutter, it's before Shabbos. But from the time that I complete the entrance process, it's Shabbos. So how do you look at Tosefta Shabbos? That was an interesting question, and it might depend on the different analysis and how you resolve the stira in the Baal HaMor. Bottom line, halacha lemaisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me a psak from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Sefer Shulchan Shlomo that dealt with this very issue. I found a few different poskim, modern day poskim, that debate this shaila. Rav Shammai Gross and Bnei Brak thought it was absolutely permissible for this shaila, for this chayal, as long as it's a question, the commander said a suffix. But even in a situation of certainty, Rav Shlomo Zalman paskins that it would be permissible, but he should delay till the last opportunity, the last few moments of Erev Shabbos, that's when he should accept Shabbos. This shaila is not only relevant to chayalim, but actually might be relevant to surgeons who find themselves operating at the time of the last few minutes of Erev Shabbos. Thank you very much. Sorry to have to speed up at the end. And it was wonderful to learn this sugya with you. Mitzvah Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send bracha, hatzlacha, yeshuas to all the chayalim in the schutz of all the learning that we've been involved in. Is this, I'm sorry, is this being stopped? Is this... Oh, you'll stop it. Okay, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I hate doing that.
Yeah.